Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks to everybody who supports independent tech news directly. If you're not already, become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS.
This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, November 30th, 2018. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from a bright and sunny LA County west side. East side.
Spit it out, Roger Shank. Roger's from the show's California. Producer. And also joining us today, very happy to have Patrick Norton back on the show from AVXL.com and TechThing.com, as well as other things. Patrick, how's it going?
I'm good. I was all ready to leap in there, unlike the opening for the patrons earlier when I was terribly confused.
Hi. You're going to talk to us about cool audio things people might want to get, either for themselves or others, this holiday season.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's we'll get to that in a few. Let's start with a few tech things we should know.
Pro boxer Floyd Mayweather and music producer DJ Khaled have settled with the SEC for what the commission determined was promoting initial coin offerings, or ICOs, without disclosing that they were getting paid promotional fees to do so. Both settled the charges without admitting or denying the findings. Mayweather will pay $300,000 in disgorgement, a $300,000 penalty, and $14,775 in interest. Khaled will pay a fraction of that, but same idea. Mayweather agreed not to promote securities for 3 years, and Khaled agreed to a 2-year ban.
It's my holiday gift to Sarah to let her have that.
Read Thanks, that. Tom. In the headlines today. It means a lot.
It's a crazy story. Apple has approved India telecom regulator Tray's Do Not Disturb app, and it is available in the App Store. The app helps combat unwanted calls and messages using a Do Not Disturb registry, which users can report unwanted numbers to. Apple previously resisted approving the app over privacy concerns related to sharing contacts with the government. Apparently, they figured that out. They were working with TRAI about that. So the iPhones won't be banned. Tray said that the iPhones would be banned for sale in India if the app was not approved by January. So it's all good. iPhones are going to stick around in India, and you get your Do Not Disturb app, and everybody's happy. Let's talk a little more about the peace in our time between Amazon and Apple here.
Yeah, some good news if you use both of the services regularly. Amazon announced that its Echo speakers will start supporting Apple Music on December 17th through an Apple Music skill. Users can enable and link to their Apple Music account that way. Amazon says that users will be able to play songs or by artists or by album and Apple's curated playlists, radio stations. The Apple Music integration is for Echo speakers, though. So if you're like me and you have a third-party smart speaker that taps into Amazon's assistant, for example, a Sonos One, it's not happening on December 17th. That much we know.
It's just for Echoes. Yeah. Not all of Amazon Voice Services. It's a skill in the database, but I guess it only works on Echoes. So that must be a deal with Apple. The other thing I noted in Amazon's press release about this, and you mentioned it, Apple's curated playlists and radio stations, not your playlists. I don't know if that's an oversight in the press release or if it means that if you create a playlist, you can't access it through the voice.
Yeah, it would be strange to me if you wouldn't have that functionality. I'm an Apple Music user, and there are a few curated playlists that the company does that I really love. So, it's nice to have that as well. But if you put together your own playlist and you have access to all of your music and you can search by album or by artist, I'd be surprised if you wouldn't be able to access playlists as well, but who knows?
I also am curious if this is a skill. They're describing it as a skill. Does that mean it's not integrated the way Spotify is? If I tell my Echo right now to play something, it will play it from my Spotify list. It'll actually play it from Eileen's because that's the one I hooked up to my account. But if the Apple's a skill, I might have to say, tell Apple Music to play, which I'd actually like to have the opportunity to say, make this one my default if I don't say anything else, but give me the option to say, actually, I want this from Apple Music. Play it over there.
Especially if you use several music services. A lot of people just have one, but you know, I have a Pandora account as well, and that's something that an Echo also supports. You mentioned Spotify. So yeah, if you're wanting to be very specific about this is where I want this music or whatever audio played from, then it might actually be a benefit.
I mean, what I actually want is Google Music to be integrated here, but a hell will freeze over before that happens.
Maybe not, but it will certainly come soon after. Yeah. I mean, this also, Amazon's selling more Apple products on Amazon. Like they've added iPad Pros, most of the iPhones, the new Apple Watches. I just thought it was interesting for them. It's not quite peace in our time, but it's certainly a lot more peaceful between Apple and Amazon than it has been for a long time. And I'm trying to decide if that's because they're working together to beat on Google, ?
Those motivations are never as simple as that, but I'm sure they don't mind.
Never as simple as that.
Starwood Hotels confirmed to U.S. regulators that someone gained unauthorized access to data from 500 million of its customers. The breach was detected on or before September 10th in the filing, but had been going on, they think, as early as 2014. So they didn't notice it. But it was detected on September 10th of this year. Marriott discovered someone had copied and encrypted data in an effort to remove it. They sort of like copy, encrypt, so you can't tell what I got, and then I'll move it off the server. The company decrypted that data on November 19th and determined, yes, it did come from the reservations database. It's not the entire database, but it is a large chunk of it, 500 million. 327 million of the records they found there included names, addresses, phone numbers, date of birth, gender, email addresses, passport number, Star Wars rewards information, arrival and departure information, reservation dates, and communication preferences. This is
nothing of interest.
Well, a phishing scammer's goldmine, right? And an unknown number of the records included encrypted credit card information. Now, it's encrypted, but the disturbing part is that Starwood can't rule out that the decryption key was also obtained. Usually they say it's encrypted, so it'll take them forever to break it. This time Starwood's like, we don't know. They might have gotten the encryption key and can decrypt your credit card information. Of course, Starwood and Marriott, if you're like, wait, Starwood or Marriott, they're merged. Marriott acquired them last year. So this is one company, but two databases. Marriott's reservation database does not seem to have been affected by this. Yeah, it says it all right there. That is all the commentary you need on this, right?
Well, there's more to it than just a heavy sigh, but it's another day, another breach, right? But Starwood is like the biggest hotel chain in the world, with many hotels that are part of it. Even if Marriott is not, this is a huge, huge breach. I know a lot of folks who actually are Starwood Points members, and you know, I actually talked to a friend of mine this morning who some of you may know, and he was like, I mean, how freaked out should I be? And I was like, it's very hard to say. It's you know, your information might have been accessed, you know, including your passport number and just, you know, really personal stuff when you checked into a hotel and when you checked out and what you ordered and all that stuff.
I would live my life these days as if all of this information was always possible to have been stolen. Right.
Yeah.
And so new breaches don't freak me out. They make me confirm my carefulness about, like, hey, anybody at any point could have this information. Passport information is a new one, but wow.
I don't know how useful the passport information is in a lot of cases. You know, I mean, if this is, I look at this and after I replaced, you know, I replaced my ATM card three times and I think it was 15 months. Because Target got hit, Home Depot got hit.
Yeah, my credit card company keeps sending me new numbers regularly.
You know, and if you start paying attention when you're going around, very few small shops actually have chip readers, right? So at this point, you know, the small shops don't want to upgrade to the chip readers. It's still in a lot of places, and I just feel like, you know, we're 10 years behind Europe on security. Security is slowly becoming better in credit card systems. And all these huge companies are still getting their asses handed to them by hackers. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I've noticed a lot of the small companies, a lot of the small businesses have tap to pay, though. Even if they haven't upgraded to a chip reader, they can take right. NFC, which may be a better way to go anyway. Just leapfrog past that chip reader anyway.
Instagram announced a new stories feature for Android and iOS called Close Friends to share stories with just a select group of people rather than all of your followers. So Close Friends is a private list. So another user who's not on that list can't find it or see who's on it and get all weird about it. Now, if you're on someone's close friends list, you will know. You'll see a green badge when you view certain stories and you'll say, oh, okay, this is a private list rather than the story that everybody has seen. There's also a green ring around the user's profile in the stories tray. So the company's at least attempting to make it pretty obvious why this is happening. It's funny, a lot of publications who wrote this up this morning said, so this is like, you know, it's all the kids have Finstas, right? Which is like short for fake Instagrams, because they want to have an area of Instagram that's actually more private than their public Instagram so that they can be some other version of themselves with a smaller group of people. I can't imagine that Instagram is trying to get away with that, because that would just mean it seems like there's more users using the network. But I can see when this would be useful. You know, maybe you got a new baby, or you know, you got your family on a list, or you know, your BFFs that you're on a group text with anyway. I don't use Instagram stories with any regularity. I don't know if anyone else here does, but it's certainly a nice feature. I can imagine that some folks, if they want to get granular with who they share things with, will appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's simple. It's one list, close friends. You decide who to put on that list. You can put them on, take them off. They don't know. And you don't have to sit there and think, now, which list did I create for which purpose? You've just got one list that's like, here's my friends and family. This is where I put the baby pictures. This is where I put all the wedding plans, though, so I don't annoy everybody else. Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. And honestly, I don't think Instagram cares if people get rid of Finstas. Companies have moved past just needing large numbers of users to needing valid users. So this is part of the new movement to focus on quality interactions over just numbers. Mm-hmm. Intel announced it will start distributing universal Windows drivers, starting with a new set of graphics drivers. Microsoft requires this for Windows 10 October update and Windows Server 2019. Universal Windows drivers will let developers create one package that can run on multiple devices, from embedded systems through laptops, tablets, desktop PCs, etc. Previous Intel drivers are now considered legacy. You can downgrade to them, but Intel says you shouldn't. And all future updates will be universal Windows drivers going forward. Patrick, is this a good thing or something rife with problems and you should stay on the legacy drivers for a while, do you think?
Yes.
Both of those. Yeah, that makes sense.
I will tell you what, watch Tech Thing next week, because I'm in the process of trying to get the new Windows Modern drivers onto one of my laptops just to see what happens. So you might remember some security issues with Intel that happened and continued to ongo, and there were some patches for that, and the patches maybe were a train wreck. Maybe not a train wreck, but not everything everyone had hoped, and then all these vendors stopped offering the patches. I'm going to say let somebody else, you know, I will be the penguin to leap first.
Let someone like Patrick try this.
Don't come back.
Yeah.
Assume there are polar bears and wait a while. I think anytime something this important, you know, because everybody with a laptop that is not an AMD laptop is 98% of you are running Intel onboard graphics on your laptop. So I'm really curious to see what they've done. And I'm really curious, because I have not been able to find somebody to talk about why they did this moving forward. Because they do this because they want to fix things that exist and they want to be able to sort of move the platform forward. So I'm still digging into this. I will have more next week. But right now I'm saying, wait patiently. Let someone else, make their monitor disappear before you do.
Yeah.
Unless
you're that girl, right? Unless you're the one who loves to just get out there and try the stuff, then go for it. But yeah, if you're worried at all, then hold off. I think this does have the potential to be really good. because it will simplify things. And simplifying anything, even a small amount of things in the driver's arena, is worth the effort.
If and the other thing is kind of like Android getting security updates, so many laptop vendors, especially as you get into smaller laptop vendors, they don't really do a good job. You know, Intel will force you to go to your laptop vendor to get an upgrade for your graphics, and those often never happen. And I would like to, anything that streamlines the process of getting drivers directly to the end users, especially, you know, not that I think there's a lot of security updates involved with this, anything that gets, you know, updates to end users faster, I think is a positive thing for the most part. So.
Netgear security camera Arlo, security camera company rather, Arlo announced its first 4K wireless security camera, the Arlo Ultra, with HDR recording and a built-in spotlight for color nighttime imaging. You'll have to have a subscription if you want to store security clips at the maximum resolution in the cloud, but there is a micro SD card slot available for local recording. The Arlo Ultra costs $399.99 and ships in the first quarter of 2019, and it also comes with a free one-year subscription to Arlo Smart Premier.
This, but the three stages of reaction I had to this story were, ooh, 4K camera. Then, wait, why do I care about a 4K camera and security? Then, oh, because of detail. This is actually one of the situations where 4K makes sense. It might even make more sense than having it on your television, where without HDR, you may not even notice that something's in 4K.
Sure, yeah. It's like the fine print on someone's T-shirt as they rob you, for example.
Well, or okay, but what about the license plate number on a car? That's
I mean, I'm not kidding. I actually think more detail is better when you're talking about security cameras.
Totally. Yeah, I'm with you.
Because so many security cameras give you this wondrous blur. It was definitely a human.
Maybe. Yeah. Or is it a dog? I can't quite tell. Yeah. No, this is better. And the spotlight, which I guess they sold separately before?
Yeah. Last year's model had it selling separately.
And then that gives you the color nighttime imaging, which, again, if you've ever used these at night, infrared is great because you can actually see in the dark, but you can't see well. So, and this is mostly meant for outdoor. Arlo Ultra is an outdoor capable camera. You can use it indoor if you want.
I like that they have a solar charger for it.
Mm-hmm. Man, solar, you know, solar power for your house is one thing. Solar for lawn and outdoor security stuff is pretty great. Like Christmas lights and pathway lights, says the new homeowner. Kind of amazing what you can do without having to install a bunch of complicated electricity now.
Yes.
Well, do we think $400 is, I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, if you need the best security camera, this is certainly ranking up there, but it's not cheap.
I think if you have an issue, that's probably worth it. I don't know if you're like, I live on a pretty safe and quiet street. Maybe you don't need this.
Well, I live on a
pretty safe.
Until you do, right? Yeah, no, exactly. Unless you want the peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, what were you going to say, Patrick?
No, it's been interesting because we've had somebody using the water in front of our house. And I don't particularly mind, say, the homeless guys that live down by the old railroad bridge using our water.
You mean like the hose or?
Yeah, the hose bib. And okay. I'm probably gonna have to put a you know, security hose bib on there simply because they left it on one night.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and they left the hose cracked and, you know. I'm not entirely sure how much water ran out of it, but a lot more than I wanted next to the foundation of my house. And it's been interesting. There's a lot of crime of opportunity stuff that goes on in our incredibly chill suburban enclave. And they've stolen stuff out of our neighbor's driveway. They've come after stuff in our driveway. They took I left out a device you use to change brake fluid, you know, and they liberated that one night. And just like,
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
That was my fault for leaving it out. B, oh, it's good to know that people are looking for opportunities to steal. And C, let's, you know, do what I can to make my house less attractive as a place to rob. So.
That, and that's something to consider with cameras, because that's not a dangerous area. And cameras may give people the idea that something really valuable is around. I mean, you got to consider that.
I mean, also, I had a neighbor in a previous location that was freaked out at any particular sound, which would be problematic when you get into some place relatively urban in North Jersey where we were living. And for them, like, you know, they died several years ago, but, you know, for them to have had the ability to look at a camera in the backyard and see it's that delete expletive raccoon again and not invading, you know, they were convinced that somebody was going to sneak in the back door and murder them in the night. And statistically, that's highly improbable.
Especially by
but you'd get a phone call and, like, you know, you go out with the flashlight and the raccoon would be like, you know, and then it would run off.
I mean, don't mess with raccoons, but they're probably not going to come in your house.
I mean, where I live, we've got a gate and there's a code and, you know, everything is sort of behind the gate. Well, the other night it was raining and it was acting weird and I was in a hurry and I hopped the gate. You know, if I can do it, as soon as I did it, I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God I'm inside. But hold on a second. My landlord should know how easy that was. Like, I'm like a tiny person. That was easy.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, one of the greatest conversations I ever listened to at DEF CON was a physical security expert talking to someone that was convinced that locks were the answer to make everything in their life safe so they would never have to worry again. Like, you could tell that there was some deep problematic issue that wasn't going to get. But the lock guy was like, yeah, you know, you're delaying people at best.
Yeah, it's a speed bump.
Right.
You're keeping honest people honest. But somebody, you know, but you look at statistics, most houses get broken into during the day while people are at work. They kick in the back door and they're out in minutes with a backpack full of small fenceable items.
Well, if you like small items, not necessarily small fenceable items, but like short items, things that are about 5 minutes to keep you up to date on tech news, definitely check out our sister show, DailyTechHeadlines.com. All right, we had Robert Herron on recently talking about TVs as we head into the holiday season. So we asked Patrick to come on and talk about audio stuff. What are some good audio things that either you love or you think other people would love?
Everything. Buy everything. There is no bad audio. Actually, there is, but that's another conversation. You know, one of my favorite things is give people a premium Spotify account or Tidal Hi-Fi. Audiophile nerds are in love with Tidal Hi-Fi, but quite frankly, I think Spotify is a vastly better interface and a somewhat less irritating interface. But give them an opportunity to hear as much of the music as possible. Most of my audio collection has been ripped to FLAC files, and I can play them on portable audio players or on my phone. But if you want to hear the best possible audio, get the best possible source, and that would be, I'd say, either like a premium Spotify account, a Tidal account, or ripping your own FLACs. There's some more obscure options out there. I don't think anybody needs like high res audio.
Can you buy a year in advance? That's always my thing with buying people subscription stuff is
in a lot of cases, I want to say with Spotify, they tell you to get a gift card. You know, there's I have not looked into Tidal. The other thing is, if you have kids or if you have family members, you can get a Spotify family account, which is a nice way to do it because you can get multiple users simultaneously.
Bring them into the fold. What about stuff they're going to play this music on?
You know, my favorite thing is if I get a lot of questions from people that are like, I want to upgrade my audio. Boy, the forums, because people in audio forums are insane. And I love the audio forums, but they're insane. When you look at audio gear advertising and catalogs and stuff, a lot of it is bias conception. You know, if you buy these headphones, you're going to get more dates and life's going to be better because people will trust you. And this is a lie. Or a very rare sort of, you know, end user case, but like a set of Sony MDR7506s, they sell for $75. That is a fantastic headphone. Like that in a Spotify account is going to be a revelation for most people because those are a nice set of headphones. They're impossible to kill. They sound excellent. You know, aesthetically, they may make you want to weep. That's a conversation. I will, you know, these will not die, but I've seen these in audio recording studios. I've seen them used by professional video editors, people that can afford to spend a lot more on headphones. A lot of them use these because they're good and they're simple and they last forever. And, you know, starting with, you know, like a Spotify account, a set of these. And if you have questions about the quality of the audio that's in or the audio sort of in your laptop or your phone, something like an AudioQuest Dragonfly, which the basic black version sells for $100. You know, those three things put together, you know, good quality audio, a Sonos, you know, set of 7506s and a Dragonfly. That's going to give you a pretty amazing introduction to how good your music can sound without spending a huge amount of money. So,
you know, when I do all my podcast editing, I use exactly these Sony headphones. Yeah, I have like five of them. All the hosts like, put these on, you'll love it. But it's true; they're the nicest headphones I've used thus far.
And they're not expensive. And
no, they're not $10, but they are well within the reach of people who really care about listening to good audio.
They last forever.
Yeah. I have a pair that I got from 2009 that I still use. I replaced the AirPods because the one thing I don't like about them is the AirPods eventually disintegrate, but you can get pretty effective replacements for like $12.
Yeah. I will say I've used a lot of headphones. Eventually, the ear pads and everything will disintegrate, and that's something I worry about with certain headphones where they have really crazy, you know, where there's plastic injection molded snappy things on the back of them. I have deep concerns about whether or not I will be able to replace those when they eventually wear out. Look, I believe Tom has a set.
These are the headphones are definitely wearing out, but they sound great. And if you put a little tape on the top that says "Do not take," then people don't take them.
Isn't that convenient? Yeah. I have a set of V6s, which are kind of a cousin to those headphones, which I think at this point are 23 years old. They're on their second set of headphones, and I had to rewire them once because a friend of mine was gaming with them and did something. He flung them so hard he managed to tear one of the cables out. But other than that, man, they're bulletproof. And if $75 is too much, there's a crazy set of headphones from Monoprice called the 8323. As near as anybody can tell, these were originally engineered by Kicker. The Kicker stopped selling them. Monoprice started selling them from the factory in China, we think, that originally made them. These things sell for, I think, $22 from Monoprice, or look at that, $17.24 on Amazon.com. They are disturbingly good for $17 because most cheap earbuds and cheap headphones sound awful. And those sound really, really good for the money. And if you've got a teenager who destroys stuff, just get them a set of those, or better yet, make them buy a set of those. Should we talk more about headphones? You guys want to hear about speakers? Or
well, we're going to have to move along. So give us one thing about speakers before we head out.
Elax Debut 2.0 or the Unify UB5. Those are really fantastic speakers. Both of those, the bookshelf speakers, those are selling for about $300 to $350 right now. The Unify UB5 is like my personal favorite speaker. If you don't have the money for like $1,000 or $1,500 for a set of Kef LS50s, which are also on sale for like $1,000, the Unify UB5 is amazing. If you're looking for a really nice set of speakers for a full surround sound system, I'm really impressed with the Elax Debut 2.0. And they engineered those with the baseport on the front, and specifically so you could shove them really close against the wall without them sounding weird. And I was shocked at how good they sound like that. If you pull them away from the wall, they get even better sounding. And that's a really fantastic speaker for the money.
Excellent. We've got more links from Patrick's picks that we'll have in the show notes at dailytechnewsshow.com. And of course, check out avxl.com or techthing.com for more of Patrick's recommendations on all kinds of stuff.
Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit every day. You're the best. You can submit stories and you can vote on other stories at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. You know who else is the best? Everyone in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Yeah, Stephen Schleicher from Major Spoilers weighed in on a recent discussion that we had about the need, or do we need, Wi-Fi hotspots? Steven says, in Hays, Kansas, most businesses like bars and restaurants and museums and parks and all that stuff have free Wi-Fi hotspots provided by one of the two ISPs in town. It's a town of 20,000 plus. We have two local ISPs that compete very heavily with one another. Nextech is one of them. Their division of Rural Telephone, current listing of free Wi-Fi hotspots, can be found here. Stephen links us to the link, which we'll have in our show notes as well. Stephen says, I haven't tested the current speeds lately, but I've been able to do more than just send and receive emails. My two boys have been able to stream YouTube and Netflix on their iPads from restaurants while waiting for food to arrive. Can imagine how nice that must be, Stephen. Yeah. Eagle Communications is the other ISP in our town. This is supposed to be a short email, but let's just say a book could be written about these two companies and how they've tried to compete with each other over the years. Bottom line, free hotspots do exist and are used heavily by our community, even though LTE services are available. Western Kansas may be the exception to other communities rather than the norm, though.
I love getting those feet on the ground reports like that from Stephen. And I love this sort of example of, even in a town of 20,000, if you have a little competition, if you got a couple ISPs, suddenly all kinds of crazy things happen, like free Wi-Fi everywhere.
You know, a park near me just put up a bunch of signs saying free Wi-Fi sponsored by Toyota.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, okay.
They do those. Toyota does those ads where they're like trying to do nice things for people. Maybe it's part of that.
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't really need it, but I'm like, I think probably some people would appreciate it. It's a pretty busy park. Thanks to Patrick Norton for being with us on this wonderful Friday and giving us so many audio tips. Patrick, where can folks keep up with the rest of your work?
Oh, goodness. Please head over to takthing.com, techthing.com, or avexcel.com, avexcel. And, well, one's about tech, one's about audio and home video, and I hope you'll join Robert and Shannon and I on both of those.
Yeah, look at that. Folks, if you are not a member of Patreon already, you can get a little Shannon Morse in your life. She does some crossover stuff from Threatwire in posts on the Patreon. Also, I have a feature called Editor's Desk available at the associate producer level and up, where I go deep into why we do things the way we do. Today, I did a recording of a Tech Dirt story about bias on Twitter and whether Twitter is susceptible to losing its safe harbor privileges because of that. If you want to hear what I have to say on that, if you're already an associate producer, check it out. It's at patreon.com/DTNS, or become a patron. And in fact, we'll send you a holiday postcard to thank you. Anybody who's a patron on December 5th gets a postcard, if they've given us their mailing address, with a special message from the DTNS team and original art from Len Peralta. It's all part of us trying to get us over the hump. Right now, we do have a few more patrons than last month, but keep us there. Get us as far over that line as possible at patreon.com/DTNS.
We love our hive mind, and a good way to contribute is by giving us feedback. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com is our email address. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. Join us live if you can, and find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
See you Monday.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.